Sing ye to the Lord a new canticle. Alleluia. The Schola sang very well this morning at the beginning of this Holy Mass. For the Lord hath done wonderful things. This snippet from the 97th Psalm reminds me of a little conversation I had last week. Is there anything God can't do? Well, I asked that of one of our First Communion children, and she answered me, oh yes, there are several things. And I could tell that our little theologian was settling in for a long disquisition on my very short question, but we ran out of time and we only had time to do the part about God not being able to commit a sin or make a mistake, I think. But I'm sure there's one thing she would agree with the judgment of one of our patron saints here in Cincinnati, St. Albert the Great. He's the middle saint. Remember, sometimes when you come to this church, you do want to look up. He's the middle saint on that side. He said something about a self-imposed limitation on God. Next to the being of God comes the mother of God. And when it comes to Mary, God could not make a being greater than the Mother of God. She alone, Mary, has limited the omnipotence of God. Consider all that God can do. He could make a greater heaven. He could make a greater earth, a greater world. But no being greater than the Mother of God. Mary is his true mother. She conceived him by the working of the Holy Ghost. Saint Joseph provided, we saw this last week, the food. He fed the flesh of the Son of God who feeds us. Mary provides the flesh. She formed his body with her blood. Saint Joseph worked to house and clothe the divine child. Mary clothed God with her own flesh and housed him in her immaculate heart for 9 months. And, virgin still, brought him forth and nursed and brought him up. He was subject to her, St. Bernard says this, and for her sake to Joseph, he obeyed her. He loved her and honored her, his true mother. Only Our Lady could say to our Lord, your flesh is my flesh, your blood my blood. I gave it to you when I conceived you, when I nursed you. Do you see how perfectly true is her beautiful title, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament? The glory of the resurrection exalted the flesh of Jesus, but it still remained the same he had received from Mary. St. John Eudes, remember, says that Mary makes just one heart with Jesus, but St. Peter Damian, bolder, goes farther. He says that Christ was one and the same thing with Mary. In the French school with St. Louis de Montfort, could call her, if we properly understand the term, la Divine Marie, the Divine Mary. Mary, Our Lady, the Blessed Mother. Do you see, it's more than sentiment from devotees, more than gratitude or due devotion, strict theology. The Catholic, the universal faith, finds and exclaims a nobility here that surpasses all human and angelic thought. A nobility, so we say, My Lady Mary, joined to such dignity that it exceeds the highest thoughts, or human categories. Anything that could be said or imagined after God himself. And Mary is still God's child, and Mary first, God's creature, but mother of God. Her union is with an infinite person. This sublimity was experienced by the three little children of Fatima. They were no theologians, but the things that they saw in those apparitions. Our Lady of Light. You know, they couldn't look long so as to notice or remember many details. The priest wanted the whole story. Did she wear socks? What color were they? And that golden ball about her neck and that cord. Did she have earrings on? But it seems that all of these things were simply light and more light from the sun, so that Francisco in particular had to look away from her dazzling beauty. She was beautiful as the sun, as Scripture says, but just as unbearable for the children to behold for long, it hurt their eyes. But not so for us. There's nothing in Mary too sublime, too brilliant for us, says St. Louis. She is kind, she is tender, this mother of ours. Nothing harsh or forbidding about her. She's not the sun, not for us, dazzling our weak light with the brightness of its rays. Rather, St. Louis de Montfort says she's the fair and the gentle moon. She receives her light from the sun and softens and adapts it to us. But this, most of all, this, she is so full of love that no one, understand this, no one who asks for her intercession is rejected, no matter how sinful he may be. And why? Why, she is our mother. There are some needs that can only be met by a mother. You know this. God knows it. He made mothers and made his mother with every perfection, and she it is he gives to us to be our own. This best and perfect gift coming down from whom? From the Father of lights. Because, well, look at the troubles we face in life. The troubles we manage to get ourselves into are the sort that require a mother to sort them out and to make them better. And isn't that the story, the historical setting of Fatima? The 20th century, with its great world wars, its over 100 million dead, and communism and the rest. There are some needs that can only be met by a mother. Everything has changed from 100 years ago. Everything and nothing. The church, as we knew her, is gone. Russia's errors have subverted even the White House. The Marxist reigned there for 8 years and still does, and thrives at St. Peter's in the Vatican. And wars. Everywhere there are wars, and they still want more. The supernatural is flatly denied by the sensible people who tell us what to think. And the merely natural is opposed not by Russia, but by America. There's a humbling thought for us. It's a different century now, and we impose our new values throughout our empire. Fatima, its historical warnings and prophecies have all come to pass. They've already been fulfilled. What's left as we start a new century since that apparition? Well, there's still, I think, that hint about the Muslim question to come. The name itself, Fatima, the prophet's daughter, makes me think that. And the same means are proposed, nothing new here. And of course, the real secret, the third, is still unrevealed. Oh, and most of all, a mother whom we need more than ever. With a message so simple, Lucy told the priest once, "Father, tell people not to get all caught up in the politics of it. Stress the spiritual meaning of things, to raise minds which have become so materialistic back to the spiritual, supernatural, to understand again why she, Mary, came to earth a century ago, and to understand why you came to earth, all of you, for no other reason than the salvation of your souls. She's here, so near, to help. And here it is, Mother's Day. We sing her praises, we express our thanks. We look long at her loveliness without turning away. But it's her day. What may I give? What best gift? What perfect gift? It's got to be from the Father of Lights. Well, listen to her. Listen willingly. That's always big with mothers. Keep me company, she pleads. 15 minutes a month. And how sad are those mothers whose children never visit and never call. Wear her livery proudly, her brown scapular. Don't be ashamed of her. And come on, finally, say her rosary. Save us from the fires of hell. Surely you know somebody in that category. Oh, and honor her heart. It's circled with thorns. It bears swords for us. Let's start over today with our crowning and consecration, these new 100 years since Fatima. Sing ye to the Lord a new canticle, Alleluia. For the Lord hath done wonderful things. He could not do more than Mary. You? Could you do more? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.